Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
My thing's already running. I've taken some photos. Let's go.
Awesome.
Which way?
Let's go right.
All right, Robert Frost.
So it's lovely, isn't it?
It's
a fantastic morning in the heat.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really late July rather than August, but it's our traditional
first Tuesday of the month.
That's right. Something like that. What a July it's been. You know, some people have said about the weather. I mean, the weather's been a bit weird, but also when it got kind of grey and humid and showery for a while there, some people didn't like it, but like through the main body of Wimbledon.
Yes.
I love that weather.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Great running weather.
Yeah, it's been fun. Did you watch Wimbledon?
Oh my word.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you hear this, dear listener,
Wimbledon's a distant memory.
But that's the funny thing about Wimbledon, is that it's actually instantly a distant memory.
It comes and goes so fleetingly, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you're bereft the next day, because you've tuned right into it, kind of bubbling away each day.
Yeah.
And even within it, that's weird. They're saying how the players are weirded out by the fact that by the time they get to, if you get to, particularly if you're someone new, someone like Alcaraz,
yeah,
you're getting to the end of the second week of Wimbledon, thinking, where is everyone?
Yeah, everyone's leaving.
They've all gone home because they all lost except you.
It's a bit like Love Island in that respect.
A lot like that. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else it's like, and I feel like, oh, chance to mention, but it's really true. Weakest link.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I mean, it is the same thing. I won the weakest link.
Yeah.
Very big moment for me.
And there's no one there.
There's no one there. If you go to a tie break, me and Lucy Porter, it's telly, and it's filmed in the middle of nowhere, so everyone's got cars.
Yes.
And I did a little interview afterwards.
So everyone chips off, yeah.
Even Lucy had gone.
Yeah.
And everyone else. And I walked into the dressing room. There's a bunch of complete strangers.
You feel like you've lost. You've won, but you've lost.
Yeah, and I want to go and say, great, exciting news, guys. Yeah. And they're like, A, who are you? And B, well, sorry, but we just...
Can we go soft on the thing?
Yeah, let's do it. There's some dogs. I knew there was a mixed pond and a ladies' pond. My wife is swimming as we speak, but I didn't know there was a dog's pond.
There's a mixed dog's pond, yes. Various species. Yeah, so I...
More dog action on the run.
I
you want to come for a swim with me?
It's one of my slight bugbears, the way people are sort of reflexively a bit negative about Novak.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's a great tennis player.
He's a fantastic and he
gave Alcaraz a great game. Alcaraz is fantastic.
Yeah,
well, of course, we'll talk about him. He's superb.
Yeah.
But you've got to give props to Novak as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole story is predicated on the fact that everyone expected him to win. And,
yes.
And with good reason.
Yes.
Because he's incredible.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, that people sort of have that thing like in sports and it's, oh, God, he's so old at 36. But it's not just that he's still got it like Federer did. He's better than he ever was. And there's something kind of wonderful about his playing style, the tennis player that he is that he started strong, but like a kind of quite a blunt instrument and without any kind of necessarily kind of innate high style.
Yeah.
He just works.
He's
really
just got
hard.
Better and better at the things he does, doesn't he? And outlasting people and working it out. But so, but
he plays to win, like in every
percentage.
All day, all time he's awake.
It's percentage. Yeah. But it was. It's also interesting when you watch it
at a certain age,
because it is emblematic, isn't it, of like the passing on, isn't it, of like, you know, old versus young. It was just wonderful to see him raging against it and Alcaraz just working him out.
Yeah, you're Tennyson-ing, you know, there a bit. Is it Tennyson? Rage hard against the dying
of
the light.
Yeah.
He didn't go gently into that good night.
I mean,
he smashed his tennis racket off a post.
Yeah, Alcaraz lost the first set 6-love.
6-1, yes.
6-1.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was obviously a bit freaked out, but he was working it out.
Yeah.
And those drop shots over time just started to really hurt, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I think that Alcaraz was, I think he went out trying really hard. Well, let's go back a day, because Jabeur.
Yes.
She threw it the day before.
Yes.
And everyone was very sympathetic, and I'm sympathetic. She's great, she's lovely. But she steered into that so badly.
Yeah.
She said, this has been a terrible loss for me. But I can imagine her thinking that as she lost
as
the
she's
first
playing.
Point.
Yeah.
And it's
well, she's lost 3 Grand Slam finals, hasn't she?
Yeah.
So there's something going on
there. Yeah, and it just felt like her decision. It felt like she went up there, focused on losing, and she got what she'd focused on.
Yeah.
Neither of the Djokovic or Alcaraz were focused on losing.
No, it was...
But also, going back to what you were saying about the first set, I think even within that chokiness, that Alcaraz overdid it. I think he thought he was trying really hard to not be nervous.
Yeah.
And he went in too hard. He was just nervous the other way.
Yeah.
It was a sort of, not going off too fast, but going off too flappy, too kind of, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like you can tell that we both really like tennis.
Yeah, we're going to do
this. Each tennis match is it's a story, really, isn't it? And it's momentum shifts.
Oh, yeah.
There's always momentum shifts.
And this story was momentous.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally went from a tennis match where people wanted rather more than believe that Alcaraz would even have money in the game, let alone win.
Yeah.
Because it's not just this match. It's often the case that the most exciting 5-set games are earlier on. And then a true Grand Slam winner just gets to the final and just
wipes
someone down, you know.
Yeah.
And that could have, and at the end of the first set, you think, oh well, that would have been nice, but there we go. But actually, I think his first set, I don't think it lulled Djokovic into a full sense of security. He's too good for that. But it did set him up to kind of, I don't know, it gave him a little bit of, it pushed him up a bit of Goliathery so that David could really come in hard.
Well, it's that thing of like, to win a slam like that, you've got to be at the very uppermost of your level, haven't you? You've got to be outstretched.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get to that level when you're playing.
And exactly.
And that's what he needed, you know.
And this is what's wonderful.
He needed the
tennis.
Shock of a 6-1.
Yeah,
I bet that hasn't happened for a while with him.
Yeah, that's
And it's
right.
just like, oh, all right.
I'm really going to
Here
to
we
step
are.
Up. And then you get like,
and not
say,
think. I'm going to have to not think too hard about this.
You get this huge heroes and villains, this kind of mythic story, this drama that plays out in front of you. But also, at a mechanical level, it's what's happening on the ground. It's about two players who can get shots back that you can't return, having to deal with someone on the other side who does the same thing.
Who's getting the shots back,
yeah. Which ultimately, in the scope of tennis, is incredible because it telescopes into longer and longer and longer points.
Yeah.
Which culminated with that deuce.
Yeah,
it was incredible, and it was like brilliantly surreal. It was actually at that point I had to run into the supermarket to get some booze.
Right.
And I thought I was going to come back and they'd still be at deuce.
Yeah.
But also, like you were saying about the big story, this is about running, guys. Tennis is
running. Because you got to run. You got to run to get the ball.
Yeah, and also it's ultimately just you. It's just you and the game. And you've got your body and your skills, but that's just the start point. It's what you do with your head and your heart next. But it felt like Djokovic was like a, you know, a god. He's a mortal playing a god in tennis terms. And when he won the tiebreak, that was the end of that.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the whole dialogue.
Yeah, because
Djokovic himself says to other players, I always win the tiebreak.
Yeah.
So when he didn't, It was, that was it. The whole timbre of
the
thing changed.
The edifice starts to crumble.
But then also, it's like Superman going, looking at his own, after being punched in the face, Superman 2, and saying, blood.
Yeah. But then you also look at Alcaraz's record in tie breaks, and he doesn't lose many either.
No, exactly. He is.
It's like no one was really examining him.
Best tennis player in the world.
But
what a session it was.
But it's also that thing of not thinking, so that you're playing. So he's still got the presence of mind to play those drop shots in the last set, which people don't tend to do because they're tightening up.
So he didn't tighten up at all. So the way he played it out.
Yeah. So he's lining up a forehand drive down the line, and then he changed his feet to do a left to right drive, and then right at the end he decides to do a drop shot. It's just killer. It's killer stuff.
Yeah.
And Jocko, old Novak, just couldn't, even with a 7-minute toilet break, just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, well, that's like, he's such a player, isn't he? When he needs to get angry, he's angry.
Yeah.
When he needs to fall, when he needs to string it out and annoy the umpire, he wants to go to the toilet, he just, let's go right here.
Yeah, he does so, yeah.
And that's, you know, like you say, like it or hate it, that's who he is. He just
wants to win
games. He's the person you don't want to play tennis against.
And as you get older, those tricks, you know, like McEnroe used to play the crowd, Jimmy Connors. It's just become, you're just trying to stay in the game, aren't you?
Yeah.
Also,
because he's older, when he went for that toilet break, he took his pipe.
Yeah.
And the Observer.
Yeah, the Evening Standard. He put a bet on. Yeah.
He took a mug of Horlicks. And Sporting Life.
No,
pint of mild.
Yeah.
Sporting Life.
All right, Novak.
He put his cap on.
Yeah.
Give me 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, I wouldn't go in there after.
Yeah.
Let it settle, Alcaraz. Don't go in yet.
No, it was... I had a gig on Sunday.
Do you have to go out before the end?
Quite rare to... No, I didn't, but...
Oh, thank goodness.
But you're quite... It's quite us, because I watched the whole thing. I rarely watched the whole Wimbledon final.
Yeah.
But it's quite draining, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being a player.
Well, yeah, and I absolutely, you know, I'm sure that this is irritating to all kinds of people. I'm sure this is irritating in the nicest possible way to you, in that I don't follow sport at all.
Yeah.
Wimbledon is like this sporting event of my year, really.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is unusually, I get about football. Generally, people are like, oh, I don't like it. Or they're into it. I totally get about that, just don't follow it. But it's partly that I'm not... We said it the other day, and it's true. I'd rather watch films because it's safer. The person you expect to win is going to win. You know, sport happens in real life.
The uncertainty, yes.
And the uncertainty is that it's too much, too rich for my blood.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I've had a strange summer because I've finally got into cricket.
Yeah, which is again,
which I
amazing.
Never got into. I just never watched, enjoyed on any level.
Some
and I have been enjoying it. Yeah.
Some similarity with tennis, the way it's like trying to light a match, cricket.
Yeah.
And a match is a word that, because sometimes it just is fine, and then other times it just goes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
something's
yeah.
happening, you know.
Yeah. But getting into that psychology of different players and the tactics, I can see why people want to sit down for 5 days.
Yeah, and cricket also. I was going to say about how
cricket.
Love how tennis, the most wonderful thing about it is how personal it is. Because they're all playing on their own.
Yeah.
Their personalities are really come out in their games. And
absolutely, yeah.
Their mood comes out. So everything can change in 5 minutes.
You're revealed.
I'm winning, I get wobbly. You know, it's just amazing the way it can shift in that way.
Like the Novak thing, it's like everyone said, you know, the game of tennis ended when, changed when Alcaraz won that really, really long game.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a shout for that, but Novak went on to win another set.
Yeah.
So I think really he lost it when he smashed the racket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a moment.
But it was, he kept trying
a set down in the
he
last
He was trying
set.
Not to a
serve
deep down that Alcaraz could win.
Yeah.
And he could, and he did.
And then once you smash your racket,
it's like... But that's what I was going to say about cricket, when it really works. Is, and I think this is also true of football, but football's tidy because it takes an hour and a half. That's the difference. But it's a good team game, has that element of individuals and personalities within it, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. I think the difference with, you're right with the time thing, because football's continuous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And cricket is like, you know, changing fielding patterns, who bats, who you know, who bowls
when. You drift
when,
in
who,
and out.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah, it's It is fascinating, yeah. And I've resisted it for 53 years. And life's been okay. It's been fine.
Also,
it's been fine.
Being a fan of the football, it's almost, particularly in the days before the internet, there's almost a, well, there's a sense that the fans are very much part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an element of fiction to that. There's truth in it too. The crowd is a part of it. But as an individual, you feel like your deep investment in what happens is reciprocated.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're watching the cricket or the tennis, you kind of drift in and out.
Yeah.
Whether you're there or not, it's not going to affect the outcome of the game. And that's interesting.
Although it's quite sort of...
Or photo opportunity.
Yeah, you're more sort of participating in it, sort of almost commentating, aren't you? Sort of jeering at things or...
Yeah, I mean,
you know, tennis fans do like to feel part of it, but to what extent they affect the result.
Yeah.
And Novak plays that, sort of try to pretend that everyone hates him. They don't.
No.
There's a lot of love for him, but he likes to create that ambivalence.
In fact, there's something brilliant and kind of, not cynical, but very unfootball about how... what little allegiance tennis fans have.
Yeah.
They basically support whoever, Morning Magpie, they support the underdog.
At any moment.
In any given situation.
Because they want the match to continue because they're paid so much.
And on the, and on the other hand, they have that with the... I love that with the players. I love that, like... You know, but sometimes in the commentary they say, these two went on holiday together last summer.
Right, yeah.
or, you know, and then when every now and again only when it works, but there was one point in that final where Alcaraz played such a good shot, and Djokovic just turned around
and
went,
he applauded him a couple of times, Djokovic did, yeah.
And again, it's not like that isn't a power play, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
And again...
You maybe try to soften them up a little bit, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And then smash him around the head with his racket.
Yeah.
Do you need to...
No. This is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unusual for us to come past Kempton House and for you to not to go... down to the... You know? How's your body?
Feeling all right, yeah. Enjoying the sun. Went on a long run on... Well, fairly long run on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. Feeling pretty loose. We're hoping to do a park run this weekend, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We said, let's get a photo here. We said, we went to Wanstead Flats the other day and said, we always say we're going to go to, you are, come in here with me. Can you get in that one? Look at that. And then
lovely. God, that's
amazing.
Isn't
that beautiful?
Consistently gobsmacking the view from Kenwood House.
That's a splashing in the lake. The view. It's the dog pond. No, it's the bird pond.
The view over Kenwood.
Far-dee-dee. You know who'd like it here?
Far-dee-da.
Do you know who'd like it here?
Who?
Kenwood.
Kenwood, yeah.
Kenwood.
He'd love it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So, yeah, well, take me through it. When was this long run? How was your weekend?
It was cool. What was the weekend? It was just... Oh, my goodness. It was just gigging. It was just a series of underpaid gigs in the capital city.
Someone's feeling strapped. You've mentioned money twice in the last 5 minutes.
It was... No, but they were good for... You can't put a price on laughter. you can't.
I wish you could.
It's priceless. And I really enjoyed the gig I did on Sunday, which was just the 99 Club, but Ruby Blue or whatever is in the middle of town.
Right.
That was lovely. I did Backyard Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, Saturday.
Now, that's why it's in your head to not be being paid enough, because they really don't pay.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned it on the Friday.
Yeah.
On stage.
Right.
Had a good moan.
No, I was with someone who lives somewhere far away. I can't remember who lives there. It might have been a Scottish guy. Someone who doesn't live anywhere near London.
Yeah.
So I've got it in. They're paying, whatever the money is.
Yeah.
We're going to have to cancel that. I mean, it's just... Yes. Just going to lose money to do the gig.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of that going on.
But yeah, nice.
But the,
nice
the gigs were great. Tried a bit of new stuff. All good. So that was it, really. It was just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, gigging.
And where did you... When did you run?
I went for... Well, Tuesday, I just went around. I did a longish run around Highgate Woods and with old Liam.
Oh, brilliant, yes. Well, with no plot spoilers, because, can you give us the headlines on that one?
Just good fun. Just great. Lovely. Just great to hear his stories about the sort of transition from, you know, recreational runner to Welsh representative.
Along
with like ultra great tales of ultra victories.
Yeah.
Such a gentle, steely soul.
Yeah, I reckon
Liam.
A couple of unknown Djokovic's have smashed their tennis rackets as Liam's come sailing past.
They absolutely have,
in the last year or two.
Yeah, so that's in the bag, that one. Bless him.
I did a Bakewell Park Run on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Bakewell?
Bakewell.
Where's that?
I said I was going to do Ghoul, didn't I?
Yes.
But basically, I had that. Everyone kept saying to me, I'd say so I'm doing Scarborough on Friday and Brighton on Saturday.
Yeah.
And everyone would say,
it's a long way.
It's a really long way.
Yeah.
And I totally...
Which it is.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And but you know what?
Go on then.
It was really great. And the thing about it was I really lent into it, you know. So I thought rather than driving slow, spend a load of money on pasties, just feeling sorry for myself, I was, what's the phrase? In for a penny, in for a pound. I did everything.
Right.
And of course, the other thing is, great time to be doing long drives in the car when Wimbledon's on.
Yes.
Really fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So when you say in for a penny, in for a pound, what does that mean? It means you got up really early on the Friday, or it means you...
It means that on Saturday, I didn't only manage to get from Scarborough to Brighton, I went from Scarborough to Bakewell, ran the park run, got home for lunch, had lunch with the family, picked up my wife.
Wow.
Went down to...
Where is Bakewell?
It's in Derbyshire.
Right.
But I'll tell you this story. I'll tell you from the day before. It was terrible, terrible weather in Scarborough.
Yeah.
Which was... And I drove up there listening to the tennis. That was great. My hire car was a little black Fiat 500.
All right. Okay.
It's really nice.
Nice, yeah.
That kind of suited me.
Yeah.
I don't really want a car, but if I did have a car, it'd be that one. And kind of slightly ridiculous because I'm quite a big man. It's quite a little car.
Yeah, they're quite funny, those little cars. You can't go too fast, can you? You've got to just get in the slow lane and be one of those people.
You get to a hill, like a hill on the motorway, that, like in running, a hill that isn't really a hill, changing down and leaning forward. That doesn't help the car go faster, does it?
Screaming, come on!
Yeah. And also...
Like the scene in The Perfect Storm.
The first time I used the car, I can't remember, I went to see my mum.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because I went up and saw my mum and we went to... we had a real emotional moment because we went up to... Because my mum's moving away, right?
Yeah.
And my dad is laid to rest near her old house, her current house. And so we went kind of to say goodbye to the whole scene. I mean, we'll be back.
Yeah.
But that was really special.
End of an era. Yeah.
And then, but the reason I thought of it is because that was the first day I had the car. Next day I put my guitar and pedals in the boot. Drove off. I was like, what's wrong with the car? My guitar and pedals are heavy, but not that heavy. They weigh less than 20 kilos.
Dragging. Yeah.
And the car guy was like, what have you got in the boot there? Yeah. Yeah. And then they didn't realise this.
Not used to the heavy load.
Anyway.
So you got up very early on Saturday.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But it was nice because it was good to be able to leave my... Scarborough's great. I really want to spend longer in Scarborough. Can we find an excuse to go there and do like a run and stuff?
I love Scarborough. I mean...
I think I've been there three or four times. Certainly three times. And every time it's like in and out, in and out. It's, and there's something really special
well, obviously
about
it's
it.
It's where I started running. Track? And there's an awful lot of great running stuff around Scarborough.
Yeah, yeah.
Some great trails. I mean, obviously, you got the Marine Drive, but... You go the other way on the top of the hills there, you get out to Ayton and Caton down by the beach.
I saw
go to Oliver's Mount, run
Andrew,
around Scobie Mills.
Who we know through online and stuff. It's lovely. Thank you to everyone who comes to gigs.
Yeah.
It's nicer to just put more and more real life faces to names and Twitter
no,
pals.
That's lovely. It's beautiful.
And we were saying about how didn't even have time to stick around and do, what's it called, North Yorkshire Water Park Run?
Right.
This is a good
that's
one.
The one. Oh, that sounds good fun.
And it was brilliant going down to the Spa. You know where the gig is.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's got this little theatre and this old, you know, classic Victorian place. Yeah. And the weather was so bad. You know, I pulled up outside. I had a classic sort of constantly inverting umbrella in the sideways rain.
Yeah.
And the cliffs to one side and the optimistic, colourful lights.
Funny,
through
yeah.
the rainy haze on the other side. And then you go in the building and everyone's in there, good to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the crowds are nice
crowds
in Scarborough.
And once they're indoors, they're all right.
Yeah, they're really nice, yeah.
And a lot of seagulls, a lot of seagull noise.
Yeah.
Constant, all night long. I went to the hotel.
Where was the hotel?
It was probably the weakest of the chains.
Right.
It was right in town. It's just
some
behind the ground.
There's some ropey hotels.
I went there to check in. I had to phone the phone number on reception twice
right.
just to get someone to give me a key so I could go in my room. I was like, this is
basic,
this
guys.
This is literally entry-level
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just trying to get in, fellas.
I went to my room. I think that this particular, the probably the worst brand of generic hotels, they kind of dress their rooms deliberately bleak.
Yes.
To remind you how little money. It's yeah. the only one who don't give you
encourages
free
Wi-Fi. To work hard.
Oh yeah. My God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep you honest.
Yeah.
Keep you away from happiness.
We've got you here now.
I went in there. It's late at night. But it was still light because it's summer.
Yeah.
So it wasn't late at night. Anyway, I opened the curtains. Looking into kind of a light well.
Yeah.
But hey, that's hotels. You don't always expect to see view.
Looking into the abyss.
And there was a... There's like a net across to keep the birds, the seagulls and everything from getting in there.
Yeah.
And on this net was a dead baby seagull. And it was... I'm sorry to trigger warning if you don't want to hear this, but it's sort of...
Yeah.
Its head and neck were sort hanging down through the net.
Lolling.
Swinging like a tolling pendulum of
yeah.
doom.
Yeah.
And with this constant
obviously
sound
attempted
of
suicide,
all
yeah.
around. It was one of the bleakest things I've seen. And I watched Alcaraz
symbolic, yeah.
beat Medvedev.
Yeah.
And
annihilate Medvedev.
Yeah, and I mean, that was interesting because you were saying about getting older. It feels like Medvedev seemed much older than Alcaraz. Much
yes.
more than, so there is an element of choice to that, isn't there?
Yeah.
It was like, he's like, oh, God, I'm old now. And he's only... He's about 50% closer in age to Alcaraz than Djokovic.
He's also dealing with the... Psychologically, the war must be weighing heavily on those players.
Yeah, yeah, that's
because
right.
it's just affected how he's perceived, completely
yeah,
unfairly.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I assume he had nothing to do with the decision to invade Ukraine.
Yeah, but you it's going to make things a little bit darker.
It absolutely will. It absolutely will do, yeah.
So
he won Alcaraz.
It was made very easy to get up and leave that hotel.
Yes. Yeah.
And the only thing that didn't make it easy was the...
Breakfast between 4:30 and 5, because that's when people want to get out of this place.
I had to go to reception to get some coffee sachets. Again, entry level stuff, guys.
Come on, mate. Come
and
on,
then
fellas.
Coffee. Just the worst.
Up from London wanting coffee in his room.
What, you want a chicken?
He does a podcast. He didn't like the dead bird we laid out for him. Have you set bed up? I put a dead bird under pillow.
That's it. In other posh hotels and countries, they put a little chocolate.
Yeah.
Dead seagull, it's done.
Slaughtered a seagull and sprinkled its entrails on the duvet.
Kya! Kya! No night!
But there is a... There's a beauty to Scarborough that
absolutely.
I miss.
Absolutely.
I'm constantly trying to get my wife to move back there when we when we're old, or at least see if we can rent a holiday chalet by the beach a couple of weeks or something, because I just love it. Obviously, well, that's linked with my childhood and stuff. But
we'll talk to the store. We'll get them to send us both back.
Yeah.
And we'll go together and do some running.
No, that'd be great. Yeah.
And obviously, maybe there'll be an event or we can...
Well, there's a 10K, the Yorkshire 10K, but that clashes with the marathon, which we're both doing, so...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really on this year.
But yeah, so... Something along those lines. And yeah, I love that Victorian magic. There's all, but, and it's actually the sort of... it's the most clear version of that thing you get everywhere, which is the British seaside town. Kind of the bleakness and the beauty.
Slightly going to seed.
Yeah, yeah.
But retaining some of its sort of innate buoyancy, because you're just by the coast there. You know,
and
you,
people are still donkeys using it.
Donkeys and candy floss and...
Yeah, yeah.
Jumping in the sea. And
when you add in the weather, the drama of the weather, it's just great. I took a video.
Donkeys, candy floss and hail in the summer.
Yes. Yeah. I panned around, I videoed the cliffs and then the beach, and the beach was just like one flat, glassy layer of water on the sand with some very unhappy looking seagulls just standing there like silhouetted.
Yeah.
One person walking a dog. Yeah. And then pan round, as I say, to the town itself with the bright lights, and then to the quite fancy venue we were in.
Yeah, it smells lovely. Yeah,
but I also added to that a certain level of sadness in that when I watched the video, I had of course pressed play at the end,
right?
So it was a video panning down away from that building to my feet in a puddle,
right?
Great skills,
yeah.
Old man attempts to work phone,
social media.
This is going to be wonderful on the TikToks,
yeah.
Everyone's going to go wild for
Snapchat.
OnlyFans? No.
Yeah. I don't
know what these things are.
Rob's OnlyFans. Just your feet. You can make some money off your feet on OnlyFans.
Let's not even get into it. So I got up at 1:09.
Yeah.
And got in the car. Now, I headed off, and I said I was going to Goole, but I realised that if I wanted to be home for lunch, which was sort of vaguely possible, I needed to do as much of the journey as I could.
Right.
And then I still needed a parkrun near to my route. And
that's a great bit of parkrun sourcing you've done there.
Yeah, well, this is the kind of stuff I fuss about when I'm off in hotels. I'm always looking at the course pages and seeing where they are. So, of course, I've done Bakewell Parkrun.
Right.
It's the one we did as part of the Marathon Talk Weekender.
Right.
Which was the... I wonder if anyone actually got COVID at the Marathon Talk Weekend. Because it was just
pre-COVID.
About 2 weeks before lockdown.
Right.
And we went down to this Bakewell Park. It's really lovely. It's an old station on the old railway. So no station, no rails.
Yeah.
And the station is like a cafe and a garden centre.
Yeah.
And it's one of those. It's like the Parkland Walk. But it's in Derbyshire.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And it was 2.5 hours. There, and I got there. Actually, got there quite early for me at parkrun.
Yeah,
and
so you could have a little warm up. Sort of
met some people. Some people, a couple. It's just so nice. This thing, the social thing of doing gigs and going to parkrun. Some people saying, particularly because of the nature of what we do, people say, "Hi, Rob."
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I really do. And also, it's parkrun, so you get to talk to... I just got talking to this woman behind me in the queue for tickets to the car park, and she was there from Wiltshire, and, you know, just nice
stuff
like that.
Just people from all over the country. Yeah, it's lovely.
But it's funny, because I had said to the guy, "Oh, it looks a bit different to last time." He said, "Yeah, we used to run off that way, and now we run off that way." So it's in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Same parkrun, completely different parkrun. And I thought to myself, it's great, because it's flat.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fast.
Right.
And apparently, it used to be uphill and then down. And now it's downhill and then up.
Right.
And I thought to myself, how bad can it be? It's a railway line, you know? But it was pretty...
Downhill and up's going to kind of lull you a bit, isn't
it? That's right. It goes down. And of course, you set off going downhill and laying out as much speed as you can muster.
Yeah.
And then it just flattens out a bit and then drops down again to the turn back. And then you're going slightly uphill.
Right.
For kind of 80% of the way back. And the...
That's tough.
Yeah.
It's going to smart. It's going to smart.
It's...
You need a tough metapacron, don't be queer.
And I did. I felt that. I felt that. And this, but it's a bit of a story of my life at the moment. I felt like I really kind of went for it.
Yeah.
And I felt very hot and sweaty. I felt like I was hanging in there towards the end and like I put it all out there. And I think I got quite a good sort of place in the field and a good steady pace.
Right.
But it wasn't a great time.
Right, okay.
And I think that, I don't know.
The longer pill's going to take it off the time a bit.
Yeah, but I keep hearing myself saying things like that.
Yeah.
I kind of need a cold day on a genuinely flat park run
to get a reading.
Excuses, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But really great, nice place to be. Back in the car, home for the classic Deering vegan kedgeree, and then we went to Brighton.
Oh, that sounds great. What to do the forge?
Yeah, although I was doubling up with a gig in a village near Lewes.
Right.
And Judy was with me. We went to check into this Airbnb in Brighton, and the bohemian older couple who owned this massive house, it's just like their spare bedroom. They were like, oh, we're out at the moment. Okay.
All right, okay.
So that wasn't ideal.
Any plans for swinging by? The accommodation that we've paid for?
Yeah. I wonder if I pop round to my own room.
Value for money and all that.
And then I... you can't have a nap in the pub.
Right.
But it was a nice pub. Yeah, the gig... Have you done... No, you wanted to
do it. This is beautiful.
Well, I did
I've done Forge, but I haven't... Which one was it?
It was in Kingston, near Lewes.
Right.
It was in a village hall, in a village.
Yeah.
The poshest, most beautiful village in the lee of the South Downs. You remember when we ran along the top of the South Downs?
Yes.
It's there. It's like at your feet there.
Right,
at the
nice.
Bottom of that escarpment.
Nice.
And all the people at the gig lived in the village.
It's like a kind of fiction. Yeah, I like... Those gigs tend to be great.
Yeah, well...
They can be a bit posh, but they all like each other. They all know each other.
They know each other.
They're up for a bit of ribbing.
Yes. And up for a bit of tribbing, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
So, I'm just relying on people not knowing what that means. Yeah. I know I don't.
Yeah.
And it was really nice, but it's such a... The village hall vibe was amazing, you know.
It's one of those places where you think... I should move somewhere like this, but you know, if you did, it'd be an absolute nightmare in about a week.
Yeah,
you've got to be loaded to live in those places, haven't you?
Oh, my word, yes.
They're all loaded.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. We went for a walk, the 11th century church, the walk up the hill, the old, just all these old places. It was a really superb kind of, we really crammed the holiday into a few hours. Also, just a little bit surreal because it was so windy on Friday and Saturday.
Yes, it was a bit windy,
It was very strange.
Yeah, they shut the Highgate Woods off on Saturday.
Yeah.
And along the Parkland Way, just a massive tree had fallen across the Parkland Way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty powerful.
You just picked it up and put it
back. Yeah, picked it up.
Because I'm a turf mother.
Yeah.
Turf picking out a pick up the tree and putting it up, clearing the trees for the Parkland Way.
Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Where's that go?
Don't know, mate.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, let's go that way. And let's not bother. It was amazing. It was a real thing. And the gig was nice. And then the great thing is the Forge is... Oh, I love the Forge.
The Forge is a lovely gig.
Excellent gig, but so different.
Yeah.
You know, I had a really nice time, kind of, even though they were lovely and everything, just easing the kind of well-lit audience who all know each other. You know, it's a bit like an AGM or an assembly.
Yes, it is a little bit
in
like
the best
that,
way.
You've got to tease them into what a gig is a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you do what I do, you've got to take them to a point where you're doing, you know, big, full-on, throwing your body around, pulling faces, loud music. You know?
Yeah.
You've got to warm them up to that in a way that was real fun. And then you get to the Forge and it's like it's like you're doing your own special on American.
It's a really nice gig, yeah. There's something very cool about that venue.
It is, it's really cool. And again, first of all, fans of the podcast in the audience, again, hello, lovely.
Yeah.
And just such good interaction, just really good, loose, fun stuff.
It is like that there, isn't it? You can feel like... You're performing at them, but you can feel like you're in the middle of them.
Yeah, that's right.
As well, because of the
and
space.
And it's physical, isn't it? That's right. Yeah. You're there in the middle. You've got to play to left and right because the audience is coming out. And then the audience are engaged. And they're really there, you know. You can really riff on.
Yeah.
They're with you on the silliest bits.
No, they're lovely. Yeah, really nice energy. He's done something well there, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, so that was wonderful. Really good. And then I feel like... Unless there's only have a certain level of patience for me and Julia's amazing weekend, but on Sunday we made another pilgrimage to Charleston.
All right.
The Charleston Farmhouse.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is, no.
It's uh, It's where it's the Bloomsbury Group's country house.
Yeah.
Vanessa Bell and Duncan Grant's house.
Right.
And so in the First World War, Vanessa Bell and her husband Clive Bell split up, but they still stayed married and they loved each other and stuff.
Right.
They just weren't a couple anymore. And Vanessa Bell went off with Duncan Grant, who was gay, and his then partner.
Right.
And they went there to this farmhouse because they were conscientious objectors, so they had to farm.
Yeah.
It was this freezing cold house in the country near Lewis. And what they really did there was art.
Oh, okay.
They painted all their paintings and they collected their paintings and they made pots and they had kids and they gardened. And
nice.
It's just this kind of
bit basically how you want to live. Yeah.
Oh, God. And they've got
it's your place. It's your gaff.
Yeah. And they've had all the... Every wall is like loosely painted, like all the cupboards and all the doors and everything is... And it's all so free and loose, but it's all beautiful. It's an absolute...
Perfect.
It's a flipping cathedral to a lifestyle, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And
a life well lived, yeah.
And, yeah, really special. And it really makes you think, you know, we go there. We're going in here to say... What can we take from this? What inspiration? You know, trying to opening up the creative side of the.
What can we take
from
this? Maybe some knickknacks.
Yeah, I mean,
an extra plate. Yeah,
a painting. Couple of
yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The first thing I saw was a pot.
Yeah.
And it said, I didn't say on it, Ordeus.
Right.
Like some kind of Latin word I didn't know, with links. To, it turned out to the word audacity.
Right.
Because I said to the.
And you thought,
guard,
I'm having that.
Yeah, I had it. I popped it. I would have brought it home, but I broke it.
Run!
Get out! Come on, car!
They're here again. The Deering's on the rob.
Meanwhile, the car. You've got two people and a guitar in here. We're not going to be doing any quick getaways.
They turned up last week. Nicking again. They work as a team. The hawk, one goes by the name of the hawk. He runs a bit. Be careful.
Should be able to catch him on foot.
Yeah, they come over all nice, but we're good. They're up at their jumpers when they leave.
Yeah, we're not allowed to go there anymore. Now, this pot, I asked them what this Latin word meant.
Yeah.
And it meant, let us dare.
Oh, nice.
Let us dare, Paul.
Nice. Let us dare.
Let us.
Have we got lost? No.
We haven't got lost as such, but we have gone a different way.
Right, it's good to go a different way.
I know
way,
where we are, but I didn't know we were going to be where we are.
Ooh.
In fact, I would say
we're sort of by the. We're sort of by the.
Yeah, we're at this end of things.
Right. Ooh. I don't know where
if
we
go that way, we'll end up off the heath.
Oh, we don't know where.
Let's not do that.
No, we want to sort of go back to the calf sort of thing, don't we?
Yeah, that would be ideal, yeah.
I don't even know how that happened.
Because really, we should get started and talk about what's happening in the month ahead.
Yeah.
I tell you though, that it was absolutely wonderful. House.
Yeah.
And I tried to take that stuff from it. And then Sunday was great because after that, we came home and we listened to most of the tennis in the car.
Nice.
Sometimes I couldn't get it on BBC Sounds and we were listening to it on AM.
Right.
It was like it was 1980.
Wow.
Driving through the southeast of England, listening to Wimbledon on AM radio.
Perfect.
Time travel.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then came in time to watch the end of it on TV, which of course is a completely different vibe.
Yes.
The radio commentary is just amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's a bit of back chat about the TV commentary. A lot of people are... I'm going to go Andrew Castle.
Yeah.
For sort of over-chatting.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely miss McEnroe.
Yeah.
I really like his sort of languid, vaguely acerbic, but really honest manner.
Was he not doing any commentary?
He was doing it for American television, so...
Oh, I see.
So we missed that, but...
No, and they were pushing on the radio saying, if you want, you can watch it on TV and listen to our commentary, which is
right.
A bit cheeky, but their commentary's really good.
Yes.
I mean, I think that it's good in general, but they had like the A-team. They have three people.
What, Mr. T?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to fly.
What are you talking about?
You don't have no plane. Smash his tennis racket because he's a fool.
Seven valley fool.
He just lost that point.
Foot fight. The fool. How long do you want to take between serves?
That was a big thing we know about when it's taking more than 25 seconds between serves. Just constantly, the nine. It was usually about nine,
that's
the bouncing.
That's the sound of a tennis ball back on the radio.
Yeah.
And then poor the crowd try not to shout out during that bit.
But mentally, it must be. I think it must be something to adapt to for Alcaraz, because every now and again he went off on 4 bounces, but normally it was 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've just got to be ready.
Yeah, it could go any time. Yeah. And then when it was windy, sometimes it would blow away, or he'd drop it, or he'd go again.
Yeah. Then it starts again.
Soft waves.
Another 25 seconds.
And then whenever he got called out for anything, everyone go, oh, I can't believe the umpire called him out then.
Yeah.
So it's because he drove him to it.
Yeah. Everyone's just going mad. Yeah.
But yeah, on the radio, on BBC Sounds, 5 Live, they got one guy. It was 2 different guys doing different sets.
Yeah.
But like sort of leading the commentary and hosting it in a really classy way, and specifically calling the rallies. What a skill that is.
Yeah, that's really tough.
I mean, generally, whisper it, broadcasting is pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
he's hit it.
Like,
he's
know,
hit it again.
Smash.
He's hit it.
He's hit it.
It's
so much better.
He's hit it over.
It's cross court, drop shot.
Yeah, I know.
From
it's
the
incredible,
Serbian, who in front of Brad Pitt, who's in the crowd today, to his forehand. Incredible. And when you
look at Brad Pitt's lovely neck, how does he do it? The guy's nearly 60.
To the forehand. Yeah. And just amazing. And then Marion Bartoli was there.
Yeah.
And she's excellent because she was getting so into it, like really out of her seat, excited.
Brilliant.
But her analysis is superb. So she's
lovely combo,
calling
isn't
it. And it's great because she's like, it's just good radio because you've got, I'm Mr. BBC, I'm calling the shots. I'm Marion Bartoli from France.
Yeah, a different voice.
Every now and
a different
again,
voice, yeah.
With really good sense of holding back. Pat Cash.
Yeah.
Just running something slightly funny at the end of the game.
Yeah, a little bit droll. At the
honestly,
end of the rally.
I think I write to Barry Took.
Yeah.
And say how pleased I was with what the BBC did.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, that's my point of view.
No, it was lovely, yeah. A lot of kids out today. A bit of school sports days coming. It's the last week of term for most kids.
Term. Congratulations. Again, by the time you hear this, it's too late. But happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah. And you can feel the urge, can't you, to go on holiday. You can just feel people starting to
absolutely
drift away.
The only issue with the Wimbledon final is when I came in. Like I say, got some drink at the supermarket, came in, and during that last set... Another reason probably why it's not good that I'm not a bigger football fan. God, I drank so much lager so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, this game's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, I drank a can of beer while I was saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Monday was really hard.
Yeah.
It's a long, dark hangover of the soul.
So this is...
With no... Ooh. What's happening, Paul?
That's going to make the next track session a little bit tough.
Yeah, it's a hazard.
They're obviously relaying the track at Parliament Hill Fields.
They're going to do it. It's going to be new but better, though. Isn't it? They're not getting rid
of it. You'd have thought so, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's a new, better track level. I mean, yeah, that's a major refurbishment.
Of course, if it was anywhere other than Hampstead, they'd just be getting rid of it and building houses on it.
Yeah.
But here, it turned out we had some money.
Yeah, so, that will be great, though. They obviously had the night of the 10,000s there, and then just dug it all up.
Can actually
good luck with that. That'd be good fun.
Yeah. One more thing that happened in the week.
Yeah.
When you were out on the way back from dropping off the hire car on Monday.
Yeah.
I ran back, ran long.
Yeah.
I wanted to run 10 miles despite the fact that I was hanging
after
the tennis.
Yeah.
And so I did. It was lovely. And I recorded the Running Tracks radio. It was really good. And then I got to... I went to check out whether that path is open for Finsbury Park's. Not yet.
Right.
Got to Woodbury Reservoir.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I did?
Did you? You ran around it?
I ran around it.
Oh, get in.
Let us there.
Get in.
Well, do you know what?
Flicking V's at the cafe as you went past.
Well, and then I thought, well, this is listeners have heard this. I'll take it on.
The
and
saga.
Then I thought, I'm a bit grumpy. I'm a bit bad because I'm waiting for someone to stop me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get away with it. I want
come and have a go if you think you're fast enough.
And I met this guy.
Yeah.
And he said, you're actually not allowed to run. I said, I actually know. And he said, well, have you got a minute? I said, no. He said, can I explain? You know, we made friends.
Right.
On Bumperly.
Yeah.
And he said... And I said, look, this, as we were talking, a pushchair went past. While I was running, someone in the powered wheelchair went past. I was like, what about, you know, I want these people to come here, but how come that's okay? He said, well, just give me a minute. You're a big guy. You're running. You're like, you know, not a big guy. You're 5 foot, 6 foot up.
Right.
You're running. I see you as a predator.
Absolutely.
absolute.
The little birds fly away.
Absolute garbage.
And the flocking birds will follow you, and you're affecting their behaviour patterns. And I said, well, all right, that's very well argued.
But never physically witnessed. I mean, in all our time there, did you ever feel followed by flocking birds?
Well, there was that time. But that's different because I am actually beset by a seagull curse.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't have. I'm not buying it. I don't buy the whole thing, but.
But I thought you'd like me going.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the effort.
So listen, dear listener.
What a lovely run.
Yeah, well.
Lovely run. Send us some PBs.
Should we get, nothing constitutes a verbal contract, but we're going to go to Wanstead Flats, do the park run and get some PBs, yeah?
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe
I mean, maybe not for each other, but we'll have some PBs to announce.
Yeah. We'll need your PBs. Also, though, this is we're going to run around the heath some more.
Yes.
So this will be a nice part one and part two of the summer run. But, thank you to everyone who's subscribed so far. If you become a fan
very kind
of the commentary, if you'd like
it's
to hear the rest of this run, you can hear it straight away. But don't worry, if you're not...
If you haven't subscribed, you'll have to wait a week.
I've heard people on another podcast doing this. I feel just feels mean.
No, we're absolutely rubbish.
Whatever you want to do.
We feel so guilty about...
Anyway, so it's there if you want it.
Yeah.
And also, we've got some... We're putting together some box sets, so if you don't want to subscribe, but you want to chuck us a fiver, you can get... like selections from the
like interviews
and
marathon sections.
We've got exclusive interview with the aforementioned Liam McIntyre, which you can now get over
there.
So subscribe, please.
Marathon
and
runner,
if that makes
distance,
you disappointed in us, then sorry about that.
get with Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.